The Supplication on Thursdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who has taken away the shadowy night by His power and brought the sight-giving day through His mercy. He has clothed me in its brightness and given me its favor. O Allah, just as Thou hast spared me for this day, so also spare me for its likes. Bless the Prophet Muhammad and his household, and torment me not in it and in other nights and days by allowing me to commit unlawful acts and to clothe myself in sins. Provide me with its good, the good of all within it, and the good of everything after it, and turn away from me its evil, the evil of all within it, and the evil of everything after it. O Allah, by the protective compact of Islam, I seek mediation with Thee, and by the inviolability of the Quran, I rely upon Thee. By Muhammad, the Chosen, Allah bless him and his household, I seek intercession with Thee, so recognize my protective compact, by which I hope my need will be granted. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, decree for me on Thursday 5 things, which none embraces but Thy generosity, and none supports but Thy favors. Health through which I may have the strength to obey Thee. Worship by which I may deserve Thy plentiful reward. Plenty in my state through lawful provision. And that Thou makest me secure in the places of fear through Thy security. And placest me in Thy fortress against the striking of worries and sorrows. Bless Muhammad and his household, and make my seeking his mediation as an intercessor give profit on the day of resurrection. Surely, Thou art the most merciful of the merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. You are listening to IRIB English Radio, and this program today is special. We're going to speak about Lady Zahra, role model for women. Today, Wednesday, is the 15th of Jamadil Awwal, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 10th of Day, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 30th of December, 2020 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open the Holy Quran, chapter 5th, that is chapter Ma'idah, verse 55.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إنما وليكم الله ورسوله والذين آمنوا الذين يقيمون الصلاة ويؤتون الزكاة وهم راكعون.
Your ally is none but Allah, and therefore His Messenger and those who have believed, those who establish prayer and give zakah, and they bow in worship.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
In the Quran, we see verses in regards to the authority and governance of Allah and those whom He has put into positions of power and leadership, and that it is only they who have a right to govern society. And Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her, whether it be in her famous Fadak sermon, which she delivered in the Masjid of the Prophet, or in the other ways in which she fought for her own rights and that of her husband, we see that in all these stances, she stood up to the government of the time and openly and flatly rejected the right to rule and supported her husband, the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali, Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, which ultimately resulted in her own martyrdom for the cause.
نحن أبناء البتول عن خطاها لن نزول نحن أبناء البتول عن خطاها لن نزول ذكرنا يا فاطمة فخرنا يا فاطمة ذكرنا يا فاطمة فخرنا فاطمة.
Fatima, the perfect role model. Addressing the women of the world, Ayatollah Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Republic, said, Hazrat Fatima Zahra was the best exemplar for all women and Muslims should learn from her. Hazrat Fatima proved that like men, a woman too can reach the most sublime levels of ethics and worship on the mystical path. The very existence of Hazrat Zahra, alayha salam, along with her skills of eloquence, her political and social expertise, and powerful foresight, demonstrates how a Muslim woman can attain high spiritual and mystical positions at a young age. With a role model such as this great personality, Muslim women should never feel weak or helpless, but should in fact gather more awareness about the high status that Islam grants to a woman. A study of life of this great lady would clearly show us that the path to ascension is wide open for every woman.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ibn Istin. In this episode, we are going to review some remarkable and praiseworthy qualities of Hazrat Fatima Zahra Salamu Alaiha, the daughter of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We find that Hazrat Fatima Zahra Salamu Alaiha was very tolerant with all sorts of problems she endured with in her life, yet we find that Hazrat Fatima Zahra Salamu Alaiha educated her children in the best way. We find that Imam al-Hassan al-Mujtaba and Imam al-Hussein al-Salam, both of them were infallible imams, and they were raised before and in the presence of their mother, that is Fatima Zahra Salamu Alaiha. And it's very great and incomparable, praiseworthy honor for anybody to have such a pious and learned mother like Fatima Zahra Salamu Alaiha and such an exemplary father like Imam Ali Alaihi. In the family life of Hazrat Fatima Zahra Salamu Alaiha, we find that she was tolerant with all sorts of problems running such a life might be associated. Remember that at that time, in the early days of the advent of Islam, first of all, the Muslim world I mean, all Muslims, especially those who had good faith in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and those people who were closely associated with the Prophet were not in a good financial position. This is one. And another point is simply that at that time, whoever expressed their being devoted to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and especially to Imam Ali alayhi salam, shouldn't expect it to be praised by other people, by other claimants. Because of this, we find that Hazrat Fatima Zahra salamu alayha was very much tolerant with all sorts of pressures that were aimed to be exerted on Imam Ali alayhi salam after the demise of the Prophet Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Fatimata wa abiha. Allahumma salli ala Fatimata wa abiha. Wa ba'aliha wa baniha. بعدد ما أحاط به علمه اللهم صل على فاطمة وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها بعدد ما أحاط به علمه
فاطمة زهرة in the words of the infallibles. Lady Fatima implements the best of hijab. Shiite's fourth Imam, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, narrates, once a blind man sought permission from Fatima to enter her house, and when she entered, Fatima hide herself from his sight. The Prophet, who was present and witness to this scene, said, Fatima, why did you hide yourself from him when he can't see you? She replied, O Prophet of Allah, although he can't see me, I can see him, and my scent will reach him. The Prophet praised her and said, I bear witness that you are a part of me.
I wake up to find you have left, oh Father. My tears drip down and they flow like a river. Please come back, I ask you by our Creator. I have never been away from you ever. I miss your scent and kiss, O son of Haida. And my name is the sweet name of your mother.
Lady Zahra's role as a voluntary social worker. Her role as a voluntary social worker in the way of Islam can see her helping the Muslim army, performing role as a nurse, consoling the families that had lost her dear ones, helping needy and orphans irrespective of her own needs and difficult situation. The door of her house was always open towards anyone seeking remedy of his or her needs. Hazrat Fatima Zahra alayha salam performed role of a distribution manager for the wealth obtained from the land of Fadak and other properties gifted to her by the Prophet. This wealth was distributed by her according to the principles taught to her by the Prophet to needy Muslims and families of the orphans and widows who were martyred in the battles. Her role is yet another bright aspect of her personality as a manager of revenues and its distribution to the needy according to the principles of Islam.
So we have to analyze the life of Fatima al-Zahra in order for us to take her as a role model. And we begin by seeing Fatima al-Zahra as a daughter. She was the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. And she came to the life of Rasulullah in a time where women were looked down upon. In society, that society at that time did not respect women. That society did not honor women, did not give women their rights. She came as a gift to Rasulullah. And Rasulullah showed the Muslims through his example how he deals with a daughter, how he deals with his daughter, in order to show the Muslims how to deal with their daughters. Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam, the day of Hijrah, the day of migration, she was born 5 years after Rasulullah took prophethood, after Rasulullah took on the message. And the day of the Hijrah, Fatima al-Zahra was only 8 years old. But at that young age, she would help her father Rasulullah. She would heal the wounds of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah would go out every day on a mission to preach and to guide the people and bring the people to the religion of Islam. Some days he would come home bleeding from head to toe. Fatima al-Zahra would welcome him, and she would wait for him by the door, healing his wound, honoring him, showing him the compassion, and showing him the love. She showed him so much love that Rasulullah said, Fatima ummu abiha. Fatima is the mother of her father. Who has received that title? Fatima al-Zahra alayha salam, she loved and cared for Rasulullah so much that Rasulullah said, Ummu Abiha. Even after the Hijrah, she was there for Rasulullah. She was the one who helped Rasulullah. Even after she got married, she kept that connection, that daughter. She was the daughter of Rasulullah. When she would see Rasulullah, she would tell him, As-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. Rasulullah would tell her, please call me Abata. I want to hear from your mouth. I want to hear you call me father. Everyone's calling me Rasulullah. But you, Fatima, I want you to call me father.
Dear brothers and sisters, as you see, this is a very nice and interesting discussion. And because of that, we try to know more about this great and noble lady. So it's a good idea that we continue this topic on the next episode of today's special, inshallah. So please follow today's special on IRIB English Radio. Fi amanillah.
يا فاطمة الزهراء يا بنت محمد يا قرة عين الرسول يا سيدتنا ومولاتنا إنا توجهنا واستشفعنا وتوسلنا بك إلى الله وقدمناك بين يدي حاجاتنا يا وجيهة عند الله اشفعي لنا عند الله
Food for thought.
Hello, dear listeners, and here is an admonition worth pondering upon from the noblest lady of all times, Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her, the daughter of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. You, the servants of Allah, are the ones to maintain His injunctions and His prohibitions, as the carriers of His religion and His revelation, and the propagators of His religion among the other nations.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the VIRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. One of the beautiful things about the traditions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam is that not only do we see that they promote a certain content, or they promote a certain trait, or they promote a certain characteristic, they tell you what it contains, and they tell you also where you can see it. That, for example, if you want to see a person who is generous, you will find him doing such and such an action. Or how do you know a person is generous? You'll see him doing such and such an action. Because we know that these traits are not physical. They are traits that our heart attains. And then at certain instances, they flourish, they manifest themselves. They cannot just, you know, I cannot take out of my pocket and show a person, look, I am generous, this is my generosity card. Or I am, you know, patient, this is my patient card. No, you show it at times when, you know, it manifests itself in a certain situation. This is when, and also it comes naturally. You know, we all have this thing that when we want to build up a certain trait, it is difficult at first to actually practice it. But by continuous practicing it, by continuously paying attention to what we are doing, that particular trait becomes what is known as a malakah, a trait, something that's implanted and ingrained in us, that it naturally comes out. It naturally shows that we are that type of person. So for example, a person who is Halim, who is forbearing and tolerant and clement, he will show his clemency or his forbearance at the particular situation where it is called for. Either by him paying attention to it, because he hasn't yet made into a malakah or a trait, or it's something natural because he has done it so often. So Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam mentions one of the most important places where a person who is clement and forbearant will show his clemency or his forbearance. The Imam alayhi salam is reported to have said that the one who finds his clemency in the midst of his anger amazes me. So this is where we find that clemency, that forbearance, is that when a person is extremely angry, he's enraged by something, yet he withholds himself from doing something silly. For example, a person refuses to reply to somebody. A person refuses to punch the wall, for example. Or he refuses to throw down something from the table onto the floor. All these certain actions and traits are those which
a person refrains him from, and then he shows his forbearance that he's able to control himself. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the right of Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam, the one who had to forbear so much on the land of Karbala, and obviously in Medina, in Kufa, in Sham as well, that the one who is truly clement is the Imam alayhi salam, Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the right of this Imam, to grant us hilm and clemency and forbearance and tolerance, inshaAllah. Until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك. ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, a program that broadcasts from Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran. And its aim is to bring the recitation of the Holy Quran into our lives. In this program, first we're going to have some quotes about the Holy Quran by some Western scholars. Then we are going to listen to some verses by famous reciters. After that, Brother Muhammad, the expert of Tajweed, is going to analyze the recitation. And at the end, we have a segment called Attractiveness of the Holy Quran, presented by Brother Yasser Ibrahim. Stay tuned. In this part, we are going to have some scientists' comments regarding the Noble Quran. Professor Tsuyoda, who is an internationally famous Japanese scientist in the field of oceanic geology, after discussion about function of mountains for the fixing of the earth, concerning the Quran says, "I believe that this, that is the Quranic information, is very, very strange. It is nearly impossible. I believe truly that if what we are saying is right, thus this book, that is the Quran, is very valuable to be noticed." Dear audience, now it's time to listen to the recitation of verses 17 to 19 of Surah Ash-Shura, recited by Sheikh Ahmad Amir.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الله الذي أنزل الكتاب بالحق والميزان. وما يدريك لعل الساعة تستعجل بها الذين لا يؤمنون بها والذين آمنوا مشفقون منها ويعلمون أنها الحق ألا إن الذين يمارون في الساعة لفي ضلال بعيد الله لطيف الله لطيف بعباده يرزق من يشاء وهو القوي العزيز
صدق الله
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program, Let's Recite the Quran. You just listened to the recitation of Shaykh Ahmad Amir, who recited Surah Ash-Shura, verses 17 to 19. And now we want to analyze this recitation in terms of the rules of Tajweed. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الله الذي أنزل الكتاب بالحق والميزان Okay, at the beginning of this verse, we have the name of Allah, the majestic name of Allah. It begins with a Hamzatul Wasl. We all know that Allah, the first letter has to be pronounced with a Fatha, whenever it's the first word that we are pronouncing. And so the lam also is pronounced with taghleel, with thickness. Allahu alladhi anzala al-kitab. We have maddul munfasil here. Shaykh Amir recited maddul munfasil with qasr. Qasr means two vowel counts, like a normal maddul tabiri. So he's reciting in the riwayah of Hafs an Asim, where you are allowed to lengthen matul munfasil to 2, 4, or 5 vowel counts. Anzal al-kitaba bil-haqqi wal-mizan bil-haqqi. The qaf has to be pronounced with the lowest level of tafkhim. If you say what bil-haqqi, that's too much tafkhim. وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّ السَّاعَةَ قَرِيبًا قَرِيبًا قَاف has تَفْخِيم and the رَا has تَرْقِيق يَسْتَعْجِلُ بِهَا الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِهَا يَسْتَعْجِلُ The عَيْن has to be pronounced from the middle of the throat, from the pharynx, and without any قَلْقَلَة. If you say يَسْتَعْجِلُ بِهَا الَّذِي That's incorrect. يَسْتَعْجِلُ بِهَا See, it's completely sucking and there's no movement, vowel movement in it. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مُشْفِقُونَ مِنْهَا وَيَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّهَا الْحَقَّ Now, when we reach the word الْحَقَّ If we stop on this word, we have to pronounce two qafs, both with sukoon. The first qaf is hal, the second qaf is released with qalqala. Haqqa. We don't say haqqa, haqqa, because originally a letter with a shatta is two letters, two same letters, one with sukun, the second one with haraka. So we have to say al-haqqa. We have to hold the qaf a little and then release it. أَلَا إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُمَارُونَ فِي السَّاعَةِ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ بَعِيدٍ. We have إقلاب of Nun Sakina here. ضَلَالٍ بَعِيدٍ. The mouth does not completely close. There is a slight opening between the lips. And at the same time, you have to make a nasal sound for two vowel counts. It takes a lot of practice to master إقلاب of Nun Sakina and get it right. If you say ضلالٍ بعيد, the mouth is too open. Or if you say ضلالٍ بعيد, the mouth is completely closed. We want a slight opening, as much they say that a thin sheet of paper should fit between the lips. That's how small the space should be.
الله لطيف بعباده يرزق من يشاء.
Again, we had another إقلاب, and before that we had a طاء with ياء المد. So again, the طاء, just like the قاف in بالحق, has to be pronounced with the lowest level of تفخيم. لطيف, لطيف, not لطيف, لطيف.
وهو القوي العزيز. وهو القوي العزيز.
The قاف has تفخيم again at the second level. We should be careful we don't give too much تفخيم to the قاف. You don't say وهو القوي العزيز. It sounds like a ضمة if we give too much تفخيم to a letter of استعلاء. And finally, عزيز. We have to hold the زاي a little bit because we have to observe the timing of زاي, which is a letter of رخاوة. It's a weak fricative. العزيز. If we say العزيز, that's incorrect. That's it for this segment of the show. I now invite you to listen to the next segment of the program, Let's Recite the Quran.
كتاب الله.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear listeners, welcome back to a program, or our program, where we discuss and we mention certain anecdotes and beautiful stories that are, you know, encapsulated in the verses of the Holy Quran. Rather, the verses of the Holy Quran enable these individuals to see the light. Rather, just to see light and to see the beauty of the Holy Quran. Again, revolving around the 90th verse of Surah Nahl, which is the 16th Surah of the Holy Quran, there's a story that has been mentioned in one of the main commentaries of the Holy Quran, known as Majmu'ul Bayan. Under this verse, this story has been mentioned. One of the companions of the Holy Prophet, a great companion, one of the great friends of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, also by the name of Uthman ibn Mad'un. He was a great companion, a firm believer in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he mentions this, and he says that in the beginning, you know, I was not a very firm believer in Islam. Islam did not penetrate my heart. I accepted Islam out of respect for the Holy Prophet. You know, he would come and he would talk to me about Islam and keep on inviting me, and I would just, like, you know, because of all the efforts that the Holy Prophet made in respecting him, being nice to him, or even some may say just getting him off my back, I accepted Islam. But Islam was not something that was firm in my heart. I did not have that firm belief yet, until one day that I got into the presence of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and the Holy Prophet was in this state of contemplation. After a while, the Holy Prophet's face and eyes
were fixed upon the sky. And it was as if he was understanding an important message, or getting something important, or rather, you know, trying to understand something important. So after that state of the Holy Prophet passed, I asked him that what happened to you, Ya Rasulullah, in that particular instant that you fixed your gaze upon the heavens. The Holy Prophet then said to Uthman that all of a sudden Jibreel came to me and I saw him, and he revealed this verse to me, Inna Allahu ya'muru bil adli wal ihsan. And the Holy Prophet recited this verse till the end. And then it is said that Uthman, on hearing this verse, said that Islam in its entirety filled my heart, and it made my belief firm. And then afterwards I went to the uncle of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Abu Talib alayhi salam, and told him what just occurred. Inshallah, the speech of Abu Talib and the reply to him to Uthman in our next episode, inshallah. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And you can also visit us on our website, that is parstoday.com. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is Call of Islam Radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياة هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق
First methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now we invite you to listen to a speech by Sheikh Hamza Sodagian.
It is crystal clear that in the context, on the day of Ghadir, afterwards, in Khutbah al-Fadakiyah, the Lady Fatimatu Zahra explaining, the understanding was crystal clear. The Prophet made it very clear.
Ali ibn Abi Talib is the Khalifa, the ruler after the Holy Prophet. That's it.
Another one of the problems that made the fitna very difficult, and it made the followers of the Prophet vulnerable and caused them not to be able to identify their taklif. Fatimatu Zahra showed that the matter of the Khilafah of the Prophet is so important that she needs to stand between them and Amirul Mu'mineen and sacrifice her life. That's how important it was. One of the problems that was there is not understanding the importance and the significance of the command of the Prophet. Not understanding the importance. We have many instances during the lifetime of the Prophet that a command by Allah would be given. If people didn't understand the importance of it, because the Prophet was there, And the Prophet was a central figure. He was a prophet. He had shown miracles. All these people had come to Islam because of the Prophet. If they didn't quite understand that, well, the Prophet was there. He would emphasize it. And therefore they would see the importance of it, would eventually get how important that matter is. This instance, the Holy Prophet during his lifetime made it very clear. Yeah, he emphasized it beyond imagination while he was alive. But after he passed and the circumstances changed, that figure that was going to remind them and show them and clarify to them that this is that important was no longer there. Amir al-Mu'mineen is there, but to them, to their eyes, to their understanding, to their hearts, Ali ibn Abi Talib is just another companion of the Prophet. Sure, he joined earlier than everyone else, but okay, he's one companion, this person is another companion, the other person is another companion. All these are companions of the Prophet. They're all old timers. He says one thing, they say another thing. And in fact, he was silent for a few days. They were doing this. He didn't come out. What is clear is that one of the problems was the better people, the really good people that were there, that we expected a lot more from, one of the problems was not understanding the importance of this. Sure, they pledged allegiance to Ali ibn Abi Talib. They didn't forget that. Amir al-Mu'mineen went to their doors, spoke to them along with the Lady Fatima al-Zahra and Hassan and Hussein salamullah alayhim ajma'in. And they all said, yes, we remember that. Then the next day they didn't show up again. Why? These are people that Amir al-Mu'mineen expected that they have enough understanding, enough iman, enough taqwa, that he went to them, not to others. 40 individuals, he went to them. They agreed. They said, oh, we'll come. Next day they didn't come. One of the problems was not understanding the importance of the matter. Yeah, the Prophet said this. But then there were issues that the Holy Prophet said, but then things changed after conditions changed. That also happened during the lifetime of the Prophet. For example, I think I've mentioned this before, maybe a few times. The Holy Prophet said, I had a dream that we're going to be going for Umrah, and we will be able to actually perform Umrah. He got his companions, told him, prepare, get the clothing of Ihram on. We're going to move towards Mecca. They grabbed their swords, armor, shields, warfare. They grabbed that to go. The Holy Prophet said, no, we're going for Umrah. No warfare, no swords, no shields, no armor, no nothing. Said, but Ya Rasulullah, we're going there. They're going to slaughter us if we go without this. He said, no. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you're going to be able to go for Umrah. You don't need this stuff. There will be no war, no fighting. What happened? They went, you know the rest of the story. They went to Hudaybiyah. When they arrived in Hudaybiyah, the mushrikeen realized that these people are coming towards Mecca. They came. They tried to instigate them. They tried to get them to behave a certain way so that they can slaughter them, massacre them there, and be justified. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala worked it out in a way. There was no war, and then they signed the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. The Treaty of Hudaybiyah was signed. It was a difficult test then. That for another time, discussing that particular test itself, why that happened, and so on. But they have this experience. It isn't the last experience either, or the only experience. There was a time where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is in the Quran, it's one of the documented instances of the concept of abrogation or nasakh. There was a ruling that came down in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if you want to speak to the Prophet, you have got to first pay charity to the poor people. Not to the Prophet, it's not a gift to the Prophet, to the poor people. You have to pay charity, then go and speak to the Prophet. Afterwards, a verse came down, you don't need to do that. Things changed, conditions changed. They have that as well. You have these things that change due to condition, circumstance. There are certain things that don't change. These were only examples. If a person does not have a deep understanding of Islam, a deep understanding of what the divine priorities are for mankind, at the wrong time, when people are creating fitna against some of the most important things in Islam, because we don't understand the importance of it, we'll say, yeah, that's there, but is it important enough for lives to be lost? People are going to get killed. That's what was going to happen. Is it that important that we fight about this amongst ourselves, Muslimin? All the battles we fought were against Mushrikeen. Now amongst ourselves, there's going to be fighting going on. Swords will be drawn. Is it that important? Yes, it's that important. Priorities, brothers and sisters. Human life is important. Loss of human life is not simple. It's not an easy thing to just say, okay, you know, a couple people died. But it's not the most important thing. And this has happened over and over, of course. It's happened over and over throughout the history of Tashayyur. With Imam al-Hussein as well. People didn't understand that Imam al-Hussein showed not only the loss of life is worth it, in other words, saving and preserving life is not more important than preserving Islam in this particular way, that Hussein needs to sacrifice his life. In this case, Fatima al-Zahra, the daughter of the Prophet, Sayyidatu Nisa'il Alameen, min al-awwalina wal-akhirin, needs to sacrifice her life. This is history. We need to apply that, brothers and sisters, in today's context as well. We've got to, if we talk about that history, and then we have the same problem now, we are not able to identify priorities.
يا وسيلتنا وشفيعتنا فاطم الزهراء
لك يا مولاتي نشأت كلماتي يا وسيلتنا وشفيعتنا فاطم الزهراء يا وسيلتنا وشفيعتنا فاطم الزهراء فاطم الزهراء
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
In the name of Allah. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to another episode of the program Viewpoints. Stay tuned.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Viewpoints. Our condolences and our congratulations to all of you out there at the martyrdom of Qasim Soleimani, the general who we all love and look up to. Here in the studio today, we have with us Sayyid Mahdi and Sheikh Ali. Assalamu alaikum to both of you.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for having us.
There's also a hadith from the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, where he says, nobody who dies and who has a good position with Allah that pleases him ever wishes to return back to this world, not even to be given the world and all that is in it, except the martyr, for he wishes to return to it in order that he may be martyred again because of the virtue that he has seen in martyrdom. So we discussed in the previous episode as well about the importance and the significance of martyrdom in the Muslim world. So I believe that Rahba actually said something.
Right. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir la'in rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So our condolences out to the leader of the Muslim Ummah, the Imam of the time, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, and also all the nations, all the oppressed nations around the globe who believe in justice, in social justice, that believe in standing up against the aggressors and oppressors of the time, the occupiers of the time, and, you know, our heartfelt condolences. And at the same time, we want to wish congratulations to the entire Muslim Ummah, and especially General Qasim Soleimani, and also Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis on achieving martyrdom. You know, these congratulations are very important for the Muslim Ummah to recognize and acknowledge. As the leader of the Islamic Ummah has said, martyrdom was his, that is General Qasim Soleimani's, reward for years of implacable efforts. With his departure and with God's power, his work and path will not cease.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So this is a message from the leader of the Muslim Ummah. He congratulates and he, you know, talks about martyrdom, how it is a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Right.
So when we struggle and strive for something, we are bound to receive